Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Friday. We are in Albany, New York at the Rivers Casino, which is really cool being here with the Nashville Cats. We just had Coach Jeff Fisher on, the commissioner of AF1. Usually on Wednesdays, we are joined by John McClain and always enjoy our conversations with him. But we had to move some stuff around this week, and so he joins us today, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. John, good morning. How's it going?
Great, guys. How are you?
We're good. We're just hanging out in upstate New York, getting ready for the AF1 Arena Crown Championship game coming up tomorrow.
Well, I envy you if you're getting some cooler weather.
Yeah, it is a balmy 63 degrees here.
Oh, my goodness.
It is very nice. So I understand you were down in Mobile, Alabama for something kind of cool.
Yeah, the reason I needed to move is because Robert Brazil, Dr. Doom, Hall of Fame linebacker for the Oilers, was involved in something that I think is one of the coolest things I've ever seen that every city should have. What they've done in downtown Mobile in front of their convention center on the water, they put up 6 9-foot statues of their natives who are in their halls of fame. Robert is the only Mobile native who is in the Pro Football of Fame, but there are five. And think about this. A town of 179,000 people has six Hall of Famers, including these five in baseball. And I think you've heard of them. Hank Aaron, Satchel Paige, Sweet Swingin' Billy Williams, Willie McCovey, and Ozzie Smith. All of them from Mobile. And I don't know if we have, in a city of 4 million, if we have that many. And those statues were humongous, and they sit out on the street where you can, they're lit up, you can see them anytime, and Robert's the only one who still lives there. So there were a lot of Columbia Blue Oiler jerseys in the crowd. It was a great event. I tweeted videos, pictures, because I was so impressed. And I immediately came back to Houston and went on my talk shows and TV shows here and say, why don't we have something like that?
I think it's a really cool concept. Am I understanding right that Amy was there?
Amy Adams Strunk was there. She was having a blast. She and Robert are kind of like brothers and sisters. They are really friendly. Robert Brazil, of all the players I've covered, I've never known one more appreciative of what he was able to achieve. Gave everybody else the credit. And just a great guy to be around. And he and Amy are like two peas in a pod. And he was so happy that she came. And she'd been pretty busy. Her daughter Blanche married Bryce Wasserman, the chief of staff of football ops for the Titans, I think on Saturday night. And so I can imagine what that was like for her preparing for it, is they built a building on the football field for the wedding. So Amy was having a blast being around Robert Brazil. And, of course, Robert had a blast. People ask me, of the nine Hall of Famers I have presented to our selection committee, who has been the most appreciative, and it's Robert Brazil.
So I got a question. He's in the Hall of Fame. Why isn't number 52 retired? I thought Bud had a rule that once you got to Canton, your number got retired.
No, Bud never had a rule like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was wrong. I thought that was kind of the thing, that numbers got retired when you went to the Hall of Fame.
Well, if it was, I don't know about it. And Bud can't do it unless he does it unless he does it spiritually.
Yeah, that is true.
That'd be a hell of a story, John.
One of the people I was happiest to see was Earl Campbell, greatest player in franchise history. And Earl, who's in a wheelchair, but still gets around really well and can get out of his wheelchair and walk a few steps to where he wants to sit down. He was there for Doom, and Dr. Doom was so happy to see him, as everybody was, made the trip from Austin. There were quite a few former other players there, and they were wearing their other jerseys for Robert, who wore his Hall of Fame jacket, and it was so hot downtown in the afternoon, but everybody had a blast.
Talking to John McClain this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, a little current NFL things. Aaron Rodgers has said he's only playing 1 year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is that good or bad that he came out and said that?
I think if most people in the NFL are probably happy that he said that, hoping that it's true, then they don't have to see the drama with him every day. I love the fact he went on Pat McAfee and said he doesn't like attention and he'll drop off the face of the earth when he's gone. Well, I don't know many players who love attention more than Aaron Rodgers does. Why would he do Pat McAfee every week? He doesn't need the $1 million he gets paid. But I'll tell you this, he doesn't have a clue. He might. What if he has a great year and they come in one step short of the Super Bowl, or they get to the Super Bowl and lose and he plays really well? Of course he'll be back.
Yeah, I just don't know why, just to say that now, just concentrate on the, you know, here and don't say, oh, I'm not coming back. I just, he's always putting something in front of him besides football, and I'm not sure what his end game is here. And you talk about the publicity, and then, but he craves it. I mean, he seeks it out even when he says he doesn't.
He loves the attention. He loves the drama.
Is that good, though? I mean, if it – with a quarterback behind them, I mean, now you got a quarterback that's going to sit there, whoever the two or three they got behind him there. But if you're the backup quarterback, you're thinking, all right, this is good?
Well, first of all, the only thing that matters is if they win. And it's going to be hard for them to win more games than they won last year. But if they do, everybody will be happy. And if, say, they take a step back and win, say, 8 games, then people are going to be happy for him to go and encourage him to take a road out of Pittsburgh on his way back to Malibu.
Right. John, let me ask you this. This past weekend in Nashville, they had the tight end university. All the tight ends in the NFL and some in college showed up here in Nashville for all that. When did this – when did the tight end become the baby of the National Football League, where everybody loves the tight end? Because tight ends have been great for so long, but when is this turn where, like, this has become, who some think, the most important position in football? It's not, but some think that the tight end now has become the glamorous position.
I think tight end is a great idea. Defensive end started it. Tight ends copied it. Having it in Nashville is really smart because they can work together, learn from the guys who established it, Greg Olsen, George Kittle, Travis Kelce. And I thought it was great when Taylor Swift came out unannounced and played Shake It Off. So they get their party time in, but they do a lot of work. And maybe eventually they do. Running back, you, I don't think a lot of them would show up. Wide receiver, no, they'd fight over who gets the most attention. So
right.
I think it's good. And one of the reasons that tight ends have gotten more attention is because so many of them are really like wide receivers. They're not good blockers. Like George Kells is a great blocker, but that's rare. And they're more like big wide receivers. They catch the ball in the open field. They score touchdowns. You know, they fall in love with the most famous woman on the planet that gets more attention for them. And I think it's great. For the longest time, they were on the line of scrimmage. They were getting beaten up like the offensive linemen. They might catch 40 passes. If you caught 50, my God, you were unbelievable. And now, in the way offenses are played today, that position is so vital to helping out a quarterback. If you don't have a good one who can catch the ball, you're always on the lookout for one. And they seem to have good outgoing personalities, and that helps. And that attracts all the cameras that show up in Nashville for Tight End University.
He is John McClain from Houston. We'll have more with him coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 1025, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game on this Friday. I'm sensing a Jimmy Buffett theme. No problems there. We continue our conversation with John McClain, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow. John, I'm curious of your thoughts. You know, this is definitely an off-season discussion, but Kansas City, what's going to happen with the stadium? Obviously, Arrowhead has been there a very long time, and I know that the Chiefs and the Royals share a parking lot. The stadiums are right next to each other in Missouri, but now the Chiefs have requested an extension to the end of June for a stadium financing package from the state of Kansas that could see them move across the state line. I mean, you've seen these kind of things before. Maybe it gets worked out and they stay in Missouri, but what do you think's next for the Chiefs when it comes to their stadium?
If a team can't get a new stadium in Kansas City, I don't know any team that could, considering what they've done, how popular they are. A lot of teams are reluctant to cough up public money, but you see the Titans. Boy, I still contend that the Titans got a new stadium that was smoother than any that I can remember. Buffalo's was pretty smooth, too. Now we've got Cincinnati threatening to move. They're getting public money. Cleveland, Washington, the city council is pushing back on it. Houston wants a new stadium. I know Philadelphia wants a new stadium. Theirs was built after the Texans stadium. So it doesn't hurt to ask, but I do not see, even if Kansas, and they're so close to each other, it wouldn't be a long trip. But boy, I wouldn't want to be the governor, the mayor, the politicians in Kansas City if they let the Chiefs and maybe the Royals. Because if the Chiefs were to move to Kansas for a new stadium, maybe they would cave and go, well, we better give the Royals a new one. That's what happened here. Once Bud moved the Oilers to Nashville, the others panicked and they built new stadiums immediately for the Astros and the Rockets, because the Astros were threatening to move to Virginia. They saw just what Bud did, and they're like, oh, my God. By the way, you were playing Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett and Robert Brazil were great friends. Spent a lot of time in Mobile. Robert used to send me pictures of him and Buffett fishing so Buffett could get away from it all. He had been his family. He had been down there for a long time when he was young, and when Robert got in the Hall of Fame, he sent me a picture of him presenting a Brazil jersey to Buffett, and the problem was he didn't get Buffett's size, and he looked like a child wearing his daddy's jersey.
Oh, wow. That's good.
It's a great story.
John, when the Oilers moved to Nashville in 97, and 97, 98 the Oilers and 99 the Titans. What would have happened? What was it, 88, when it kind of got out a little bit about the Oilers in Memphis? Am I wrong about that time frame?
Well, no, they were never going to Memphis. That stadium was terrible. You know, they Bud had him play there because he loved Pepper Rogers, and Pepper Rogers was promoting Memphis like crazy in the Liberty Bowl, of course. And Bud made him go at training camp there. And it was what they asked that team and Jeff Fisher to do here the last 2 years, and there for 97, 98, before they moved into the new stadium offices and became the Titans, was just an unbelievably 4 year period. Fisher did a tremendous job not letting the team go down the toilet, keeping them competitive before they got great in 99. And but they were never serious about going to Memphis.
Had they not come to Nashville, John, would they have gone to, because I know they were in talks before Jacksonville came in 95, would they have gone to Jacksonville? What would have been the end game, John, had Nashville and Phil Bredesen not got involved in this?
Well, Jacksonville had the Jaguars by then. Baltimore was interested because Baltimore had money left over from its sports lottery to build a football stadium. And at that point, Tampa was looking to move, and the Buccaneers were the dregs of the NFL. And Baltimore did not want the Buccaneers. So they reached out to teams like the Oilers. And I'll never forget, Bud Adams asked Mike McClure, who was running the show for Bud, how long does it take to fly to Baltimore? So Bud, for his own edification for coming up for names. And McClure told him whatever it was. And then when McClure told him Nashville was interested, he said, how long does it take to go? Because I don't think Bud was even going to show interest. In his mind, it was a long flight. Well, of course, it's a short flight there in a private plane. So that got McClure, Bud signed off, okay, if they really want us, then go for it. And that's what happened. That's how Baltimore gave Cleveland's owner, Art Modell, a drop-dead offer, which meant he had 24 hours to take the offer of a new stadium, a new facility, and everything he wasn't getting in Cleveland. And Cleveland lied to him, the mayor lied to him, politicians lied to him. So when he accepted it, instead of blaming the people, should have been blamed, everybody blamed Art Modell, who could never set foot back in the city until the day he died, of course. Bud still lived here. And so that's how that came about. And then the Buccaneers, all of a sudden, they hired Tony Dungy, and they got good, really good, and ended up getting another stadium.
How close was you talk about the Titans got their new stadium go through pretty quickly. Was the new Texan stadium in the late 90s, did that go through pretty fast as well?
Yeah, that went through real fast because people wanted a new team, and Bob McNair, who was very powerful and influential with politicians and business leaders, and he built that stadium almost. He had taxpayer money, but he put in a lot of his own money, and he paid the expansion fee on his own money because nobody else was stepping up to get another team. But, yes, they panicked. The front of NRG Stadium, the entrance is called the Bud Plaza because it's sponsored by Budweiser. And I always call it the Bud Plaza because it wouldn't have been built without Bud Adams leaving.
That's a good one. You mentioned that Houston wants a new stadium. Where would they put it? I mean, would they finally be able to tear down the Astrodome, or where would it go?
Well, first of all, they're trying to get a new practice facility. Their facility is right across the street from the stadium. All their offices, locker rooms, everything's in the stadium, and they're outgrowing it. And they have three great fields across the street in the bubble, but they want one somewhere else. And I think what they want is to take the personnel department there and keep administration in the stadium. There's only four teams in the NFL that use their stadium for their facility and their offices, and they're willing to pay for it. And I hate to see them go to another county because of the traffic. And I know the players and everybody else would hate that as well. And so they're talking about, well, a renovation would be great. Yeah, well, at some point, oh, boy, that's going to cost $700-800 million. Why don't we just go ahead and build a new stadium? Nobody wants a renovation if they believe they can get a new stadium with all the bells and whistles, whether it's Kansas City, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Washington, Houston, and anybody else.
Yep, that is very true. John, appreciate it as always. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, thank you very much as always. Thank you for letting me move to Friday.
Absolutely. John McClain, presented by Maple Street Biscuits, Wake Up to WOW, usually joins us on Wednesdays, but we did a little moving around so he could be at Robert Brazil's statue unveiling earlier this week.
Just real quick, just all the dominoes that had to fall, because you just think the Tennessee Titans just to show up here.
Yeah.
All the dominoes and the history that got him here, and it's crazy, man.
Well, now and everybody wants a new stadium. I mean, like some of these stadiums, like Cincinnati's is probably 30 years old, 25, something like that.
Yeah, I know they
99?
Played it. 99?
Riverfront?
No,
hang on.
They played at Riverfront through the 90s. I know that because they were awful. At least through 98, I remember.
Paycor Stadium opened in 2000.
Okay, 2000, yeah. Bills are getting a new one. Jags are getting renovated. Miami, what they've done to Miami is fantastic. Yeah. Adding that Big Ten on top of that. So, yeah, I don't blame them.
But, I mean, it's hard to believe that a 20 to 25-year-old stadium, it's like, ah, we need a new one. I mean, the Braves played at Turner Field for maybe 20 years.
Yeah, but I mean, you have, like John talked about it, renovating stadiums and a ballpark. Look, Wrigley Field was built, what, 1915 or something crazy like that? I mean, so I could never see the Cubs playing in another place besides Wrigley Field.
But eventually they'll probably have to.
Like, to me, it's still weird to see the Boston Celtics not in Boston Garden.
Yeah.
It's just weird because they grew up, it's generations, man, watching that.
Yeah, very, very, very true. And, like, you know, the Titans building their new stadium.
Yeah.
Coming up next, it is draft night for the National Hockey League and the Nashville Predators. We'll kind of touch on that and what they may end up doing later on this evening and other moves they can make. We'll do that next. We're live again in Albany, New York, from the River Casino for the Arena Crown Championship game, which will take place tomorrow starting at 11:30 on Totally Hits 93.3 and 102.5 The Game. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.